The book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You weren't good enough to die on that cross. It was impossible. So no amount of works and no amount of clamoring for God's love can get you favor with God. And so if you've grown up hearing that your whole life, good works gets me to heaven, you believe something that's false. The Bible says, but God demonstrates his love in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't get good, then he came. He already came, and by his death, he made us righteous in him because of his death. Now, because of that death, I don't have condemnation in Christ Jesus, but the faith I live, I don't have faith in myself that I'm going to do it, but I have faith in Jesus that he's going to do it through me. Because it's impossible for you to overcome in your own flesh. You've tried it. It doesn't work. You can't do enough good to erase the debt and the bad that you have. So you have to stop trying to get God's favor by how much you do. It's exhausting. God already loves you because of what he did by sending his son. And if you believe in his son, the Bible says that you'll have eternal life because of that belief. But it doesn't mean that now that you live your life any way that you want to, but you have to now live your life the way God wants you to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is where the walk comes in, the walk. You can't just come to church on Christmas and Easter and check a box and say, I'm good. Because that's what the world does. They come to church on Christmas and Easter and say, I put in my time, but they don't have a relationship with God. And he wants a relationship with you, not based upon works, but based upon your faith in him. That he's able to do what he said he can do in your life. Don't you think that he came to give you more than you're experiencing now? If the Bible says that he came to give you life and give it to the full, it begs the question, are you living a full life or are you compromising on that offer that he came to give you because you think that you know better than God does? And what we do, especially as Christians, as believers in here, is that we tend to take God and we put him in this box and we say, well, God, I'll do this for you because you're good. But don't ask me to do anything else for you, because if you ask me to do anything else for you, it's going to require some uncomfortability. And I'm not cool with being uncomfortable. That's why you have a lot of people doing drive-by church. Drive-by. If it's more than an hour, they won't commit to coming weekly. Yet we have a God in the form of Jesus who carries a cross up a hill to be crucified by men he created. Suffering for your sin and my sin, but we can't take a step with God because it's too uncomfortable. And this is my concern with the church. If you came from a background today and you're like, man, this is not a great Easter message, we're going to get there. But it may not be the way you want it to get there. Because most people come to church to feel good about their actions. They don't come to church in order to experience God and push them out of their comfort zone so that they can take next steps with God. And so God wants us to realize that, number one, it's not your faith that does it. It's my faith that does it. God gives you the grace that you need in order to overcome in this life. Everyone's been given a measure of grace, and you've also been given a measure of faith. It's your job to exercise that faith. And so as you go through life, there will be obstacles. The cross was the perfect example of the main obstacle to life. There had to be death. So that was the precursor in order for Jesus to experience life. Your belief in Jesus requires that you die to self and so that you come back alive in him. That's what this Christianity is about. Is it about the great exchange? I give my life and he takes it in exchange, and then he gives me his life and he says, now live it through me. So that's why you can walk in no condemnation, because you know that it's by his blood that you're actually doing it. You've been forgiven, and that you don't have to put Jesus back up on the cross every time you sin. The Bible says that Christ died once and for all. Now we have an advocate so that we can come boldly before the throne of God and receive mercy and obtain grace in time of need. How many need grace? How many need mercy? And so now that you serve a God who's given you free access to him, free access. And so if you're not walking in freedom, you have to look at your life and say, what area of my life is binding me so that I can't experience the full life and the freedom that Jesus died to give me? And I'm not just talking about a little bit of life. I'm talking about whole life. Because we accept certain things we probably don't need to accept in our life. You know, a little bit of condemnation is okay because it keeps me honest. A little bit of self-pity is okay because it helps me stay humble. And I think we have a lot of people walking around in false humility, not realizing that humility is not what you think it is. Humility is not beating yourself up over something that happened 15 years ago and that you can't get back up and receive the forgiveness of Jesus and walk free. That's not humility. Humility is recognizing that you can't do it on your own. You recognize that there's someone who's far above you, who supersedes you, that saved you, and that you cannot do this life without him. And could it be that you're trying to do life without God, and because you're trying to do life without God, it's not working for you? It's not working. And we like to think that it's working, and we got it all together. And the world likes to think that it's working and they got it all together because that's what social media is. Social media is a camouflage for the real thing. I want you to see my smile today. But you have no idea that that person is contemplating suicide. But I just want to flash you a smile because it's all about likes. People don't realize they show their dysfunction more than you know. And when you walk with Jesus, Jesus begins to free you from all this stuff. And we sing songs like this, and this was an appropriate song today, Just Give Me Jesus, because as he begins to free you from all that stuff and all the entanglements of the world, you begin to see truth for the way it was and the way it is. And you can walk free. There's something attractive about being free. Because you know that Jesus is the one who saved you and set you free. I'm not saying you don't struggle. How many struggle? I'm not saying we don't struggle. Welcome to life. So if you're looking for the pass-through, well, the cross is giving me total access to a guilt-free or a problem-free life, we're looking at the wrong cross. Opposition is now knocking at your door if you call yourself a Christian and is asking you, do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really believe in the Son of God? And do you believe that he actually gave his life for you? And furthermore, do you believe that he's worth serving because of what you're walking through right now? Because people take God and they erase God from their life because of difficulty. Well, it's difficult, so God must not be in it. Look at the cross. Well, I feel rejected. They spit on him. I'm hurt. They took a crown of thorns and shoved it in his head. Then they took turns beating him and saying, who hits you now? All the while not opening his mouth because he knew who he was and why he came. So much so, he was so tied into purpose that even when he went to the cross, a thief got saved because of who he was. Experiencing abandonment for the first time so that he could free you from it. Do you realize that what God has done for you, not only separating your sin as far as the east is from the west, but also identifying with your pain? You don't have to get hooked on drugs. You don't have to be addicted. It's a lie. You don't have to medicate your issues. If you allow Jesus just to get in and to heal, that stuff won't have a hold on you anymore, and you'll begin to experience life and life to the full. But you've got to be willing to get better and get well, but also be willing to give God access to your life. Because a lot of what we do on Sundays, and I'm not saying this church, but people come to church and they put in their time and they worship and they sit down and they go back and say, wasn't that a beautiful service? No heart change. We're talking about Mondays coming. How can you live from Sunday to Sunday? Man, I just can't wait till I get back in church next Sunday. What? I need the next 6 days. And so we've got to close the gap in our relationship with God. And the way we close the gap is by appropriating faith in our life when we get up tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and close the gap so that you can understand what it means when God says, I want to be near to you. If you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. What are you drawing near to? And I'm concerned that the church as a whole doesn't have power. They don't have that intimacy because they're not drawing near to God daily like they should. And they're being pulled away by the cares of this world, and they can't function right. And because they can't function right, they're not making right decisions. And when they are making decisions, they're making it according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit of God. Function. God wants you to function. Not just function, but overcome. What's not working in your life that should be working? Throw away the age argument. That doesn't work with me. Well, I'm 62. Cool. What's working in your life? And look at it from God's perspective, not from your own. What should you be winning at that you're not winning? You're not winning. Maria Erickson just turned 30. And let me tell you something. This woman is winning at life because she doesn't let her age define who she is. She hasn't let the box of the world confine her so that she has to die a slow, hopeless death because she's aging. When it comes to that, Jesus said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Your life should be getting better. You should be getting better. You're just getting started. You're on the upswing. And so when you live your life, it is a testimony to the world on how you live it because of who's living inside of you in Jesus Christ. It ought to be worth it to follow Jesus. If it's not, you better find something else because it's a waste of time. It's a waste. Why would you spend your whole life falling short and not really experiencing what God came to give you and get to the end of your life and say, well, I suffered my whole life. I really didn't get what God called me to do. It was hard. It was difficult. All those things. Yeah, they might be possible. But you know what? If there wasn't a grin on your face, if there was no joy, if there was no peace, you missed out on the point of the cross. Suffering is part of life. Death is part of life. You have a hope that doesn't disappoint, and you're going to live for eternity. So why not start now? Why not start now? Why wait and say, well, one day I'm going to get there? No, why not take what he's done, appropriate it to your life, and start living like you're free, start living like you're whole, start living like you have joy. And I'm telling you, things will change for you because you call for things that are not as though they are. I do have joy. There's sickness in my body, but I am healed. I'm getting up and I'm moving. I don't see it right, but guess what? He can help me see right as I tap into him. I don't really feel like doing it, but when I do it, things begin to change. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It's all about your faith level in him. He said, I'm the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I remain in you. What does this have to do with Easter? Everything. He said, now that I've died, and now that I've paid the price, and you've allowed me in, we're going to do this thing together. And when I'm working in you, nothing will stop you. He said, but here's the key. You got to remain in me. In other words, you got to keep tapping the vine. You can't expect to stay in for one component and one season and then jump out when it gets hard and when it gets difficult. No, that's when you need to stay in. Because that's how he prunes and that's how he cleans. Listen, you got to get comfortable with pain. I'm sorry, you got to get comfortable with pain. If they didn't tell you that in Sunday school when you were 8, you've got to get comfortable with pain. It's uncomfortable, but you have to get comfortable with it. Because when he goes to work, he prunes, he cuts. He knows what doesn't need to be there and what needs to stay. But the only way the operation works is that if you remain. I remember when I was a kid, I hated going to the doctor. Hated it. Deathly afraid of it. Deathly afraid. I hated going to it. I didn't like what they were doing. I didn't like the needles. I didn't like everything. I couldn't. It was hard to stay on the table. Are you done? Are you done? Because, you know, they have little paper things. You know, you would just hit. You just. That was intimidating in itself. Because as a kid, you're sitting on that thing. Why is all that noise? And you're trying to figure it out. The doctor comes in and you're trying to just get what you need to get and get out. But you get anxious about it. But it was, you realize as you get older, it was necessary to go. Because there were things that he was going to find that I didn't know about. He had more wisdom than I did. And it's not until you get older you realize that it's okay for God to go to work on me because he knows better than I do. And the older you get, the more you realize you don't know that much. And so you have to stay in with Jesus and remain in the vine because he's going to give you the wisdom you need to get through this next one. If you don't have some sort of relationship with Jesus, this world's going to take you out. And you probably already know people who have been taken out because their head has not been screwed on right, and they've opened themselves up to compromise, and there was no root system. And so when COVID came and when issues came in, they were blown away. If you're not rooted and grounded, and if you don't remain, you're not going to make it. And I just want to tell you this now, especially as the world gets darker, you got to stay even closer to Jesus. Because the enemy is coming at you now in subtle ways. And the more you begin to stay with Jesus and to stay close with Jesus, he'll start to cut away things in your life that don't need to be there. And you'll begin to experience the full weight of salvation and what it feels like to be saved. Some of us are saved, but we don't feel that full weight of what it means to be saved. What am I saved from? Myself. I'm not that good. I need someone who's going to love me in spite of me and still want to be with me. That's what the beautiful thing about the cross is and about having a relationship with Jesus is. He knows you, the whole you, and still wants to be with you. And if you're honest, you're thankful. Come on now. Come on. You're thankful. We come to church and we're not all like we say we're supposed to be. And like things aren't always going the way they're supposed to be. But you know that Jesus is the one who's giving you the grace to move. He's the one that's given you the ability to do what you need to do. And just recognize that. That's why worship should be a celebration to you. It should not be some morbid act that you do every week. It should be a celebration of the fact that what Jesus has saved you from, what he's freed you from, and what he's building in you. Because you're not the same that you were 5 years ago, but you're taking ground and you're overcoming, and worship's a celebration. I know some people, it's like a solemn thing for them, and that's okay. But you ought to be the ones, Christian believers ought to be the ones praising Jesus the loudest because of what Jesus has done and what he continues to do, because you know the grace has been sufficient for you. Sufficient. Not just sufficient, but also the grace that you need to move on. You know, if it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have made out of last season. So when you look back, you can tell God was good. But you got to keep tapping the vine. It's not just about, you know, I did it one time. I tried Jesus one time and it was good. It was like a fad. You know, I tried him one time. I had a bracelet. You know, I was WWJD. Yeah, it was good. I like bracelets. My wrists, they felt good. But it wasn't really about a relationship. It was a fad. It's a fad. Because when hard times come, immediately what we do is, where's Jesus? It's almost like we get surprised when hard times come. But he said that in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome it. I got you. But if we don't have the ability, Sharon, to endure to the end, we're not going to receive the crown of life that he said that you can get. I'm not just talking about eternal life. There are crowns that God wants to give you here. Here. Not just in heaven, but here. There are things, because you've overcome, there's a new level of life that he wants to give you. New level. I was watching a TV series, me and Mr. watch a TV series right now, and they said this phrase, which is key, failure to thrive. people who have made it up in their mind, it's not worth trying anymore because life's too difficult. And what they were referring to is they were referring to people who were coming out of the pandemic because a lot of their mental faculties were affected and their health issues skyrocketed because the lack of care during that time forced people into hibernation because of fear. And because they couldn't get access to health care and mental help, they started to decline. And so when COVID, quote, mandates started to lift, what happened was there was an influx, they said, in assault, crime, because people were just coming out of hiding so frustrated, they didn't know what to do. And you know how that looks like. You may not pull a gun, you may not pull out a knife, but you know what reacting in your flesh is like. And when you get so bottled up with frustration that it has to be released, has to be released. And so they started to see an influx in that in the hospitals and the emergency rooms and stuff they said they should have caught earlier and they would have stopped. They couldn't. It was already too far on the backside. Why? Because of fear. 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 Oh, it's healthy. Fear. And the enemy wants to keep you bound. So you don't say nothing, so you don't come out. I can remember when this church, over the last couple of years, we're going through the whole thing about COVID, and God was very specific, and I'm going to tell you this again, when he said, you will not succumb to the fear, because it was starting to creep in the churches. And God said, not this one. Get back up. Do what I've called you to do. And God was faithful every step of the way, because fear, he said, will not have a hold in this house. Because of what it does. And so when he says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and self-discipline, he said, that's for real. I'm not looking for my church to die during this time. I'm looking for you to come alive. Come alive. And so we had people in the hospital. We had people getting sick. It was like a rotating door. Who's out this week? She had COVID last week, but it's the flu. But no, that year they didn't diagnose flu. So all of a sudden things, we didn't know what it was. And so people are rolling in and out. What do you have? I don't know. I coughed and I think I have COVID. Now I'm out for 10 days. And so people are trying to figure out, I can't hug you. Can I hug you? I don't know. And so we finally got to the point. I'm like, you know what? If I get it, that's fine. How you doing? I'm hugging. It doesn't matter. I can't live like this anymore. I can't live like it. If we're the church and God has called the church to arise, whatever comes in, death, hell, destruction, opposition, God's called me to overcome. Why? Because I'm tapping the vine. I'm in the vine. It doesn't matter. If I'm not tapping and I'm not in, I don't experience the victory. If I'm trying to split it and I'm trying to be here and I'm trying to be there, God said, I can't give you the victory. You got to stay in with me, man. Hear me. Hear me. If I say do it, do it. And I'm looking around. We're videotaping for 3 months. Me and the camera. And so finally, enough was enough. Because God wants people rooted and grounded in him. Not swayed by fear. Because he hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He didn't say that fear wasn't possible. But I haven't given you a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear, I haven't given you something that binds you. So if I'm bound, I have to ask myself, why? Is it because that inner lawyer accuses you of stuff that you think you should be doing, but you're not doing, or puts this false expectation upon you and other people that they can't meet and you can't meet, and somehow you think you have to be perfect, and because you're not perfect, you can't really receive the full love of God because God's looking for perfection, and that's a lie. How can I live if I'm worried about being perfect all the time? That in itself is binding. There's only one who's perfect. His name is Jesus. I have to stay in the vine because I'm not perfect, because I'm liable to say something I shouldn't say at the wrong time, and I still do it anyway. But fear and faith cannot coexist. It doesn't work. I have faith, but oh my God, I'm going to die tomorrow. I got faith, but I'm worried about dying tomorrow. Okay. I can understand that. You're anxious about it. But we don't want it to turn into a spirit of fear. And this is what happens with people, especially when they deal with anxiety. Well, I'm anxious. Okay. I understand about anxiety. It's a real thing. But there is a peace that passes understanding. And you have to figure out where anxiety is coming from. Is it coming from something that, one, you've allowed in your life that's not God's best? Two, is God asking you to do something that's out of your comfort zone and you're anxious about it? Two different things. He never said, I wasn't going to ask you to do something that wasn't hard. So you have to figure out, Lord, if you're asking me to do something that's hard, I know that you're going to give me the grace to do it, because obviously there's something that you're wanting me to win at and you're wanting me something to overcome at. And that's two different things. Compromise is different. If you're sinning, that's on you. I'm anxious all the time. All right, let's open the book. What are you watching? What have you allowed in your life? We got to go there first, right, Maria? I'm anxious. Why? Why? I picked up this new habit. Yeah? Yeah, every time I talk, I'm twitching. Not God's best. I'm not saying there aren't issues that you deal with neurologically and things happen, but let's get down to the root of it. A lot of what we deal with is some of the stuff we just got out of in our series talking about is because of root of rejection. There are things we've allowed in that all of a sudden gravitate and grab a hold. And pretty soon you're doing things that you don't normally do. I want you to think about in your life the times, and I'll just be honest in here, there have been times in my life where I started doing things because of the trial I was in. And I just being honest, because a lot of people like to suffer in private, right? But there are times the Lord has not allowed me to do that fully in my life. There have been times I've had to get up and do things hard, crying. I've had to do things working and crying, knowing that God was doing a work in my heart and taking stuff out and disciplining me. I had to do it in faith. And God said, all right, I'm going to work it out here. It was very difficult to hide. God said, you're not hiding and doing this, because that's not where faith is built. So we got a lot of people hiding and come to church. I don't want to change, but nobody knows what's going on. And it's hard. God wants to break something in your life, but you won't cry because you won't be tough. But how do you know that God doesn't want to use that experience or that service to start breaking down some walls? God will do any. Listen, God will use a movie to start to open up those tear ducts. You start to cry because it reminded you of something. I don't care where you're at. You can't hide. That's why the tomb is so powerful. It's empty. You're not supposed to be in. If Jesus is out, guess where he wants you? Out. That's why you should be the ones. You should be the ones going out to dinner. No mask, sitting at table. What's up? You should be the ones going to the gas station, smiling. Not worrying about what everybody else is doing. You might be going through a struggle, but you can have joy. Why? You're in the vine. You can have peace. Why? I'm in the vine. Where are you at? I'm going to say this. What are you tapping? What are you tapping for strength right now? You need real strength. Affairs are not going to do it for you. Your past is not going to do it for you. What are you tapping right now? And is it giving you life? If it's not giving you life, disengage. Because you need power more than you think you need. If you're going to overcome in this life and do what God's called you to do, you have got to have the strength to stand and fight. And you cannot stand up under condemnation and expect that you're going to get very far, because you can't stand up against it. You have got to stand up in the freedom that he's given you, but you got to work through some stuff. There are things right now that the enemy is throwing at you and is throwing at the world. And God wants you to be able to handle it. I was praying for a kid the other night at our worship night a few weeks back. And he said he needed a prayer for several things that were going on in his life. And I just began to pray some things over him. And I just began to pray for God to give him the ability just to handle it. And I said, you have the ability just to handle it. I don't care if there's 8 things going wrong. Handle it. And this is where we get tripped up in Christianity. It's like, well, there's too many things going on. I can't handle it. Why? Who's in you? Handle it. Instead, we got people being handled. Like, because my emotional deficit is throwing me back to my past. It's throwing me in a corner. It's beating me up. My failure is just hitting me in the head and just killing me on the inside. And instead of handling it, we like being handled. But there comes a time where you got to say, enough. Those hands come off. I'm going to start to handle you now. I'm telling you right now, the Spirit of God is saying it right now. If you will start to handle it and stand up to it, God said, I'm going to give you the grace to fight up against it, and you'll start to win. Stop being handled. Some of you are being fondled in your emotions. And the Lord said, take the thoughts captive. Start doing what I've asked you to do. And I'll start to make the crooked places straight. But until you start there, it's not going to change here. I've already died to give you freedom. I've already died. A lot of you have already accepted my forgiveness, but you got to start walking it out. Every time it comes back up, take it captive and keep doing it. It's not me who's bringing it back up, he said. The only way you get victory is that if you stay close. But God will not allow you to keep cycling. Eventually, you're going to have to do something about it. And until you do, it's going to be the same thing in your life. Some of you right now, you're beginning to walk in freedom and you're accepting the goodness of God and you're seeing it. But every time you try to do it, all of a sudden, the thought comes back in your head, what if? What if I'm not really forgiven? What if he doesn't come through? What if it doesn't turn out? And you got to stop it right there. Now, he who promises faithful, I'm already forgiven. There's no condemnation. The world hasn't even seen the best me yet. And all of a sudden, you begin to take control back of your life, and freedom begins to burst out into different areas, and you start to walk like you never walked before. And all of a sudden, it's contagious. And freedom is contagious. Now, your laughter has changed the atmosphere of the room. Your joy has lifted depression. Your praise has lifted heaviness, all because of you realizing that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now you're just walking it out. I don't know what God's doing, but I know all I know is I feel free and there's release and power and anything's possible. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. And if he said it, he's going to do it. And I know that God has started the work of my life and he's going to complete it. And it doesn't matter. There's no weapon that's formed against me that's going to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, I have the ability to condemn it. Why? Because the one who is in me is greater than the one that's in the world. I don't have it all together, but he does. All I know is that he's called me to be free. And if you don't like it, tough, tough. And so let's all stand to our feet if we could. Lord, for everyone in this room, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Right now, you're fighting a battle in your head. Just be honest. You got some stuff in your head right now. You're back and forth. I got some honest people here. Just in the head. Yeah, head games right here. There's some stuff that God wants to do. Lord, for every spirit of fear, we break that in Jesus' name. Every anxious spirit, everything that's trying to take a hold of the younger generation, we come against that in Jesus' name. They will not walk according to the pattern of this world, but they will know who their Heavenly Father is, because the one that's inside of them is greater than he that's in the world. This will not be something that's generational in your life, but it will be broken in your generation so that you will see fruit. And in generations to come, you'll be able to look back and say, it's because God did it in me. And because God did it in me, My kids are free. I'm free. Everyone in here, you're called to overcome. No matter age or race, you have a perfect plan and purpose for their life. Enemy, you're a liar. Lord, help your people to take back control of their own life and to start handling their stuff. Because they have the power inside of them to do so. They'll know what resurrection life is. And because of the freedom that's in their life, it's going to trickle down in their homes. It's going to trickle down in their workplaces. That the enemy will not have an occasion to come in and bind them. But God, that they will walk in such freedom and liberty that chains will fall off as they walk into the offices and as they walk into grocery stores and they walk in their homes, that the enemy will not have an occasion to set up shop because they've learned to handle it. Because they keep tapping you. And Lord, I pray that as they continue to tap you, Lord, more of your spirit, more of your power, more of the ability to house what you want to do is going to be manifested in their life. I thank you for the fight coming back to your people this resurrection season. But we prophesied to the church worldwide that you would awaken the church, that these latter days will be greater than the former days, that your church will rise up in power like we have never seen, that we will take back cities, we will take back our homes, we will walk into our promised lands because you promised us we could have those things. I thank you, Lord, as people are believing you in faith for breakthrough in families, for sicknesses to be gone, for financial breakthrough, give them the ability to handle it. Give them the ability to hold on and wait for you because we know that in due time, you're going to come through because we know that you said that if you start the work in our life, you will complete it because we believe that the one who promised is faithful to do immeasurably more above all we can ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.